This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's a 1-0. Swing and a line drive. Base hit. That's into center field. Nibbles in to score. Alonso racing to the plate. He's in. Marte comes through. And the Mets have doubled their lead. It's 4-0.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Kesselring carries it across. Drops one. Shot. Score! Dylan Gunther lights the lamp. Utah on the board first. Their first ever goal by number 11.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
The pitch. Swing and a ball crushed. Way back left field. Is gone. Off the facing of the second deck. Tatis does it again. 6-1 Padres.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
What is happening?
That was you sound a little out of breath there. What is happening? Out of breath?
I'm gonna drop a bomb on 84. That's what I'm gonna do. Alert the authorities. I'm taking that highway out.
Tolls will help that.
He can't hear you. That's what's funny about that comment. It's just terrible. It's Andy Dirt Johnson literally rolling in as I start talking. Happy hump day, everybody.
You ever have like a 12-hour stretch and you feel like the world's against you? That's me right now.
12-hour stretch?
It's been a rough 12-hour stretch.
Really?
Well, that was me watching my team yesterday.
Yeah, at least I had that going for me. The Dodgers lost and they might be eliminated today. So that would cheer me up a little bit. But last night, everything's going great. Perfect day. Teddy ball game was a delight yesterday. Wife's working, watching him alone. Everything's perfect. Get him down, falls asleep, clean the dishes, dinner's ready. Everything is dialed in on my
Tuesday
night. Like,
huh?
Like, yes. I'm feeling great.
Right. Yes.
Sitting on the couch, watching the Dodger game. I'm watching the Oregon versus them on my phone, crying because it's about cancer and it was an incredibly done video. Sitting there, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, I think I saw something move on the ground. Like, I felt like I saw, like, a shadow.
Where is this? Where are you at?
Just in my living room, sitting on my couch. Feet are up. Just totally relaxed. It's like 7:15, 7:30, somewhere in that range. Just chilling. Having a great night.
And you have a house that's a kitchen into the living room kind of combo.
Little combo platter. Floor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got a little open space, as they would say.
Yeah.
I think I see something on the... So I put my phone down, and I'm like, am I just, like, is it late at night? Am I just tired? Do I need to go to bed? What am I seeing right now? So I'm, like, scanning the floor, waiting, and all of a sudden, from behind one of Teddy Ballgame's little, like, toys or something, comes a little mouse running behind on the carpet underneath the couch that I'm sitting on. And immediately it's like, all right, all hands on deck. Wife, drop what you're doing. We got a mouse in the house. And then this proceeded literally for the next 2 hours. So he goes underneath the couch and we try and trap him. She had like a bowl or a towel. I'm like lifting the couch up, trying to hold it up so she can try and get underneath there to grab the thing. She throws the towel on the ground and we're like, okay, I think we got it. So she's like trying to press down on the towel to see if she feels where the mouse is. She's like, I don't think it's in there. I'm like, it's got to be in there. I didn't see it run away. It's got to be underneath the towel. Like, you know, push a little bit harder. Maybe it's underneath there. Eventually, she's like slowly pressing. And I'm like, screw this. And I just lift the towel up. No mouse there. And at that point, it's like, I didn't see where he wiggled away. I have no clue where he went. I don't know where he, like, he could be anywhere in the house right now. So we're like clearing rooms one by one, like a squad team, you know, just like, all right, clear, close the door. We cleared that room. He can't go in there. About an hour later, we discover him behind the refrigerator, at which point he then runs under our oven. And I have like an oven that's like, it's a, you know, gas stove. It's like welded to the counter. You can't move the thing. So I have no wiggle room here. It's just underneath. And this went all the way till like 9:30 of me like poking down underneath the oven.
Trying to scare it out.
Try to get him out so we can catch the damn mouse.
Where is your dog in all this?
He's just looking around like, what are we doing? You know, what's going on?
He didn't see or smell this
thing.
Didn't
see or smell the mouse at all.
Now, I know you love your dog as much as anybody that loves a dog loves a dog.
Yes.
It is your first child.
First child.
There has to be a part of you that goes, dude, are useless.
Where the hell were you?
This is what you're for.
He was laying, I swear he was laying on the carpet and the mouse ran like maybe 6 inches behind his butt. And I'm like, dude, you were right there. That's your whole job here. What are we doing?
You know, the relationship between man and dog started and formed early on in human history by us having a relationship that said, we give you stuff.
Yes.
You help protect us from diseases.
I give you shelter. I give you food.
You kill those little things that give us crap.
You kill the mice. And he didn't hold up his end of the bargain last night.
Unfortunate.
So at that point, it was like 9:30. We still couldn't get him out from underneath the oven. And I'm like, I got to go to bed at some point. I got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
How did you know, real quick, how did you know it was under the fridge?
So she was poking around behind the fridge, and she saw it scurry from out underneath the fridge underneath the stove.
Okay, and we pissed your wife off last week with this Oreo fake Oreo thing.
The Oreo controversy.
I'm asking sincerely.
Yeah, what do you got?
I don't think your wife is a coward.
No.
But when you lifted the couch and basically said, you trapping this little creature that tends to scare the crap out of most people.
You throw the towel over it.
Were you very trustworthy of her? And do you think she like did the half-hearted throw look away like, one of those throws?
Look, after the cookie controversy last week, she handled it perfectly. Okay, this isn't her fault at all.
We looked
at the game film. It's not her fault. I was holding the couch. I should have been doing more. This is probably on me. I should have trapped the mouse and held the couch up.
Why didn't you provide a house that kept mouse out?
Should have done that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just underneath my oven. We covered the bottom of the oven with a towel, and then I'm going to get home and figure out what to do today and hope that he can't burrow into any other part of the house.
Ooh, so here's the other thing. Do you think at this point, is your wife working?
She is working again today.
Okay, so you have somebody watching Teddy ball game
this morning. Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that thing's going to find a
little
a window and get out of there?
We alerted the babysitter today that there is a mouse in the house. Mm. It is underneath the stove, and just, you know, head on a swivel. Let's keep our eyes peeled. Make sure we're all prepared.
Yeah.
And make sure if that thing runs out, we're ready to go.
So famously, if people are new to the show or new-ish to the show, when we were noon to three, Dirt had, he lived in Milwaukee, he had this mouse problem pop up at his house. Now, look, you live closer to a city, mice and all that, like rats and all that, so that tends to pop up every once in a while.
It's going to happen.
He had a mouse problem and famously used the sticky pads and killed mice.
Traumatizing. Absolutely, because he wasn't dead. He was alive, and he was stuck on the glue, and I didn't realize how horrific those things were.
I think all of them are kind of traumatizing in different ways, but
they
at least
are.
Those traps that are dome-like, you don't see the head get cut off.
No, you just hear the snap, and you're like, ooh, I think I got one, and then there's just a dead mouse on a platter, not I'm picking this thing up, and he's going, wiggling around trying to free himself. And I'm like, okay, now I'm just torturing a mouse, man. Should I poke you with a toothpick while I'm at it too?
I hope I didn't chuckle because that needs to be a drop.
He's like, his little legs are the ones that can still move that aren't stuck on the glue or still kicking.
So do you think that maybe this is a karma coming back around? You trapped my relative on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't care where you live now. I'm going to haunt your nightmares.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a pretty safe bet right now. This is karma coming back around. The mice are out to get me. They remember the torture that I did, and they're not going to forget it. And so it's them finding a way to sneak into my house, hell of a Tuesday night. And then 84 was just 84 again this morning.
What happened on 84? Because I don't know 84 anymore.
Just an accident, and everything stopped, and then all of a sudden it cleared up. You're like, oh, okay, so that wasn't that big of a deal. This is cool. Wasn't a full standstill this morning. It was just a slow crawl. Slow, constant crawl, and then all of a sudden, right around the Lloyd Center exit, hey, look at that. There's nothing here. Everything is free to go now.
So you live in an interesting spot compared to me. We don't live far from each other, but we live in a spot where I'm able to be more flexible in my drive. Have you kicked around the idea of maybe taking like Foster up? Because there's nobody on these roads, on these side roads when we go into work.
I have contemplated it.
Because 99 has been a godsend.
It's been a dream for you to get
there's
in on time.
Nobody on those highways. And I just pass 84 every day on I-5. And I just chuckled out. I'm like, I'm not losing any time.
No.
I might be driving a couple more miles, but time-wise, I'm not losing any
based
time.
On the speed that you're going.
Yeah.
I was playing in my head the theory that you have about flying, and this is like a bad sign for analytics and probabilities, because you have a theory that whenever there's a disaster from an airline, right afterwards is a good time to fly.
It's the best time because now we're hunkering down, we're double-checking bolts, we can't have another disaster.
No, these screws are a little bit tighter, everything's buckled in, we're good to go. I was playing the analytics in my mind. There was just a massive accident on 84 last week, and I'm saying to him, what are the odds? These happen like once or twice a year. What are the odds there's another one in the short term?
Within a week.
I can't even remember the last time there was one prior to last week, and now less than a week, because I think the last one was last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So literally a week later, it's like, okay, cool, I'm getting on 84. And I noticed it on 205, it was like, your travel time to I-5 is 13 minutes. And I'm like, that's a little bit, 13 minutes? That doesn't take that long to get 84 to I-5.
Abandoned ship.
What's going on here? And then I get on 84, things are starting to slow down. I'm like, oh God, here we go again.
When you see the red lights, you're like, ah, crap.
Ah, crap. And then you try and decide, should I get off? Where do I go? Should I bail? And thankfully, I made it right on time at 6 o'clock.
You literally walked in as the Open was playing.
Well, I would have made it here on time. I would like to shout out the black Chrysler van who pulled out in front of me about 3 blocks away that decided to drive like 7 miles an hour.
And stop, like, legitimately
at every stop sign.
Every stop sign.
Like, dude, there is nobody out. I'm moving. Get out of my way, man. I'm on the air in 90 seconds.
I know we like to all be hypocrites with driving. In my neighborhood the other day, doing yard work, I look behind and a car is coming down at a normal driveway or normal like neighborhood speed, and a car passed him.
Ooh.
Like aggressively.
Like get out of my way.
Yeah, just to turn at the next street, which was maybe 500 feet away from where they were.
Okay.
And so I look at the drivers who passed my house and we made like contact, like, who drives like, why do you need to drive
like
that?
Where are you going? Why are you in such a rush?
And then this example pops up where like, maybe you should have just passed him and sent a little statement.
Just hammer on by the guy. Then I'm worried. We have so many construction workers that park in our parking lot now. I'm worried that I'm going to do that to somebody and then they turn into our parking lot. Thankfully, he turned right as our parking lot began. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about this guy. But that's always my fear is like, I do that move to somebody, then I pull into the lot, and then they're like right behind me. And I got to awkwardly wave at them as I get out of my truck.
Well, I'm glad you made it in.
I'm here.
Sorry you're dealing with a mouse problem. You'll get that squared away eventually.
I mean, probably not. It's going to wiggle out from under the oven, I'm sure. And it's going to be loose somewhere in the house. And this is just going to knot me literally and figuratively.
Well, then it's going to reproduce.
Where is this mouse? Yeah. Where did it go?
Teddy ball game toys need to be washed now.
Exactly. It's a whole thing. It's going to be a fun Wednesday.
It's a hell of a Wednesday. Usually this means it's a good show. When all the chaos happens and you're panicked and you're not ready, usually that's when shows are the most fun.
Yes.
Heather Dinich at 7 a.m. ESPN. Woo! It is a Josh Pate hump day Wednesday. We will get to that.
Yes, it is.
We will visit the Ohio State side of things. We've got NFL. We've got other college football. Major League Baseball. It is a loaded show. NFL Zigger Zag at 6:45. Let's get it going. Let's not delay anymore. A good moment for this sport. Next on The Fan. Chip Kelly's coming back to town. Is that still a thing for a Duck fan? It's something I was thinking about. Chipper talked to the media yesterday.
He was very chipper in his conversation with the media yesterday.
He was, of course, asked about Oregon, as he was when he was the UCLA coach coming back in 2022.
Yeah, I think he's been back. Well, he also came back in the COVID year, but that's kind of a no count.
That is no
fans,
no
fans, nobody was there.
That doesn't count.
Different
But I want to get to that, and it's not that you, like, disrespect or disregard the Chip era. Obviously, it helped launch, I think, what Oregon is now into a higher stratosphere.
Definitely did.
But I just, like, at what point does it not become a thing anymore? And, like, eventually he gets retired or, you know, comes back.
He'll come back and have a moment.
Yeah, gets
some
a standing
point.
Ovation, all that stuff. Like, that's a different thing than him coming back as a coach. It's like, at what point does it not be a thing anymore? Because I think he's very respectful to Oregon. I also just wonder, where is Duck? Like, does Duck fan have to, like, always think about their emotions to Chip Kelly every single time?
We're in touch with our emotions, man. We sit down, we talk about our feelings, and Chip made us feel nice and warm and fuzzy inside, man.
Also, I have a buddy taking his son. His son is 15 going on 16 to game day for the game day experience.
Bold move, Cotton. I'm assuming staying for the game, too, or just going to game day?
I said, going to the game? He goes, come on. Because, like, he makes good money, but the prices of these tickets are insane. Through the roof.
So he's driving down from Portland for game day.
Yeah.
And then driving back. And
are they going Friday night?
Well, his kid is not on a varsity team yet because he's a sophomore. And I said, why didn't you go on Friday? He goes, you think we're going to find a hotel? And I go,
yeah, that's you're not.
Well, I made a joke. I said, stay in Corvallis, show them a real university, and then drive up in the morning. And
I mean, it's actually not that bad of an idea.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. You're about 40 minutes up the road, cheaper. I mean, you're not finding a hotel in Eugene.
Plenty
for this
of good
weekend.
Little eats in Corvallis. Yeah. And then you head up super early. I want to ask the audience, what time do you think my friend should leave Damascus, Oregon to comfortably park and be at game day before it starts? Because I disagreed with the start time he says he's leaving and hitting the road. So we'll get to that today.
Okay.
Let's start here. Major League Baseball is having a little bit of a moment for itself.
It is.
The Padres, unfortunately for Swag, went up 2-1 in the series last night, 6-5.
Thrilling first three innings, and then nothing happened.
That pitching mattered
pitching
a little
was
bit.
Good.
That was good.
I wanted 13-12. After those first couple innings, though, I wanted
that
thing
to
be.
Yeah, I thought I was like,
oh, I did 17-16.
I'm going to have to settle in. This might go for a while.
Give me some more grand slams. Give me a couple of Ohtani bombs.
Yeah, when Teoscar hit the slam and got the defense off the hook initially, I was like, okay, they're going to be up for this.
See, I disagree with you guys. I know that Houston-Dodger game years ago in the World Series was fun, no doubt.
Yeah.
But now that I have to wake up at 4 a.m.
You want to go to bed?
I was in my bed. I fell asleep at 8:50 last night because that game did not have a 13-12 final, and it was glorious to wake up with that kind
I'm
of sleep.
I'm so jealous. I was on pace for that, and then the damn mouse threw my whole plans out the window.
Dude, anytime you can wake up and not need to rub your eyes.
It feels so good.
It's delightful.
Yeah.
Tanner Scott's strikeout of Ohtani.
Yep.
Oh, that was such a filthy little pitch he threw for that strike three. A great game there. And then in New York, we got this Grimace Mets thing. Look, I don't know where those two series are going to go because baseball is kind of weird. Padres Mets have a real vibe of teams of destiny that caught fire late, and everything's kind of gone their way so far. Now, the Dodgers, I will respect the Dodgers lineup here. I don't really care for the Phillies at all, so I hope they lose. But then I hope the Mets lose the next series.
Right.
But they kind of have that vibe. But baseball so far, Dirt, viewership is up like 40% right now in baseball.
Because you got big markets involved. You got star players involved. You got rivalries involved in all of this. I mean, you have Philly versus New York, which is one of the most recognizable rivalries in all of Major League Baseball. You have the Dodgers and the Padres who have played previously in the playoffs. You have the Yankees involved, and then nobody's probably watching Guardians and Tigers, but that's okay. It has been really fun. I mean, I gave you the stat yesterday. It's the first time in the divisional round we've ever had a 1-1 series tie in all four series. It never happened before. And so now we'll see if we end up with multiple game fives. I hope that we do, as much as I'd love to see the Dodgers lose. It'd be great to set up game five matchups on Thursdays and Fridays, kind of leading into the weekend, which is going to be an incredible college football weekend. Like, I'm just rooting for more sports at this point, and I want more intrigue and interesting. The Phillies were a pretty big surprise to me yesterday. Having their stud on the mound and getting shut down the way that they did. And Noah hung in there for a bit. He gave up the two solo home runs, and then the dam kind of broke in whatever it was, the seventh inning. When they gave up a couple of more, their offensive performance, that's a loaded lineup. And them getting shut down, Sean Manaea is a journeyman in baseball. And I know he's been fine this year for the Mets, but that dude's been awful in his career in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, that was a matchup. If you're a Phillies fan, you circled it. You said, it's Nola versus Sean Manaea. This is a game we win. And that leads to your theory. There is definitely, it's funny how this happens every year. There is the vibe of like, it doesn't matter what happens.
Team of destiny.
Doesn't matter who's on the mound. It doesn't matter who needs to get the... Jesse Winker's like hitting, you know, 0-32 in the postseason, and he hits an upper tank, you know, tank
just
job.
Just a bomb.
Just massive home run. You're like, all right, now this dude's hitting bombs. It doesn't matter anymore.
If we get all four wild card teams in the league championship series...
Yeah.
Do you think... And I could especially see some of the, you know, the Dodger-Yankee type owners going, we have to retool this. It is such a disadvantage for the teams with the best records to have to sit for a damn week before we start playing.
Well, I think you're, I mean, we heard that last year, right? Like, I think it was It's just the whole like sitting and waiting yeah. and like you're off and these other
the Dodgers
teams.
To
me, it's not even that. I think it's more about just the flukiness of the sport and short series.
I mean, yeah. this is kind of what baseball's always been to a certain degree.
We've added more teams to the mix now.
That's just it. You used to have it was so restricted to get into the playoffs. Yeah. Like you had to prove your proficiency over such a long period, and then the very best of the best over the whole season, then we'll have a short tournament to determine a champion. And we're going away from that. Will they at some point, I don't ever see owners doing it, but will they at some point be forced to shorten the regular season?
Well, I don't know about that. Rob Manfred continues to be Michael Scott. Just doesn't make any sense that this guy is having success in what he's doing with the league, and yet here we are, and we're like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Wait till we get a Tigers and, Mets. I don't know who would be the worst team in the National League. Tigers and Padres, maybe, would be the least interesting World Series for most.
Because you take New York out of the equation.
New York, all those other big cities. Like, wait till you stumble on that final, and then everybody will be right where Swag's at. And this is like, hey, what a great idea. This is interesting. And then you get a bad World Series matchup, and it's like, oh, this sucks.
Well, but why? Okay, so this may just speak to our attention of the sport in general, because the NBA also has this. It's so matchup driven depending on how well they do in their championship. Why in football do we not do that when it's like the Giants in 07 are 10-6 and they're clearly not the best team, but they won the Super Bowl? How great is football? And then when baseball gets the Tigers and Padres potentially, it's like nobody cares. Yeah. And I'm just like, why is the underrated team that we know isn't the best team in the sport winning okay in that sport, but not okay in any other sport? I don't really understand that.
It's a football thing, and football can't do anything wrong. So that's part of the
problem.
But
it's just weird how we form the narrative, right?
Like, it is.
This Giant team, they faced him in week 18. I think they could beat this undefeated Patriots. We talk ourselves into getting excited.
right.
And look, all credit to the Giants. We know they weren't the best team in football that year.
No, New England might be the best team of all time that year.
That's the best football team
season.
I've ever seen in my life.
right.
And they lost the one game. But in baseball, if the Tigers win the World Series, and I'm just using a random team here, we're just going to crap on it nationally and say, I think they need to fix their sport. When the other sport does this, we don't do that.
Yeah, it wasn't that they need to fix it. I just wonder if the owners of the teams that are spending $200, $300 million on payroll and can win 100 games start going back to Manfred and said, this is unfair.
Use your resources better and shut up is what I would say to those owners.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the World Series matchup shakes out. For all we know, it might end up being the Phillies who have $8 billion payroll and the Yankees or the Dodgers.
Right.
Like, we have no clue how this is a good turnout. But the beauty of the baseball playoffs to me is always a double-edged sword. On the one hand, I see your larger argument, but even I, as a sports fan, like, am I more interested to watch Ohtani in a World Series or the Detroit Tigers? It's not even close.
No, I know.
And it's no offense to the Tigers, and if we have two Tiger fans out there.
It speaks to where I think you are as a baseball
sports
fan, right?
No doubt about it. But the other side of that is, if you are a baseball fan of a specific team, it leaves you encouraged. So you like it on the one hand, because if your team gets in, like I've joked with you throughout September about this, you were kind of done on the Braves. It's like, dude, I know the lineup's banged up. You get in, you never know what the hell's going to happen. You can win a couple of games, one guy gets hot, one bat starts hitting bombs every game, and you're like, look at that, we're in the NLCS.
Yeah, the Tigers and Royals would have been out long time. The Guardians had that division locked up
2 months ago, man.
August.
Exactly. And so now if you're a fan of a team, you like it because it gives you hope when your team's in the playoffs. But from a national standpoint, I don't blame anybody for being out on the matchups. Like, the NBA's gone through this at times. When we had the 8-seeded Heat make the NBA Finals, play against Denver, Jokic isn't a super charismatic.
We all knew
the series is over. It's kind of like, all right, that doesn't hold the same juice as, you know, Boston and Golden State the year before, where you get a major market and Steph trying to win one without KD. It is fascinating how they've stumbled on this. I think it's been good for the game, but also incredibly unsettling. Like, Swag's not wrong. Baseball owners, if this ends up happening again,
especially those two ownership groups, the Dodgers and the Yankees.
How many games did the Diamondbacks win last year?
80-something.
And they made the damn World Series. Tigers were, or not, excuse me, Rangers were in a juggernaut all season.
My team won it when they won 88
games. 88 games. Like, we have this bigger format. It's great for interest at the end of the season, but it's making it harder because this is not the NBA with seven-game series in which a star player can say, all right, we lost a game early, I'm just going to go take over and win the game by myself. You get four at-bats or you get one start in a short series. It's a three-game series or a five-game series. Doesn't take long. If a lot of these were seven, the favorites would probably win. But in these short five-game series, you look up, you're the Dodgers, you're facing elimination today.
Rough day for the Mariners fans. Winkler and Teoscar Hernandez going yard in big playoff moments. Just brutal.
Grand slam, too. That was an incredible moment. The start of that game was awesome.
He admired that for a while.
I mean, why would you not? But I saw Cal Raleigh on the big screen at the Kraken game.
Hey, let's go. Didn't they lose yesterday?
They did.
No.
Yeah, that was...
We don't have time to talk about it. Coming up next, the woes of the new college football. Next on The Fan. All right, Heather Dinich will join us at 7 a.m. Josh Pate at 7:40. We'll get to NFL Zigger Zag coming up at 6:45 a.m. Pivoting from Major League Baseball into college football. Interesting little thing has been developing. I wanted to wait a few weeks to see how this was going to sort itself out. And if we're to use just the B1G as an example here.
Yeah, them and the ACC are really the only ones you can use as a because I don't think any other conference has to do this.
They don't have to travel nearly the miles. Like, Miami was playing a road game at 2 a.m. Miami time.
Yes, they were.
This weekend. It's unbelievable. And right now, the Big Ten is 1-8. Teams are 1-8 when they have to travel two time zones over, which is why I really like Oregon this weekend, and everybody else likes Oregon because the spread is dropping as
we
speak.
Nobody's picking us, man. Nobody's giving us a chance.
We'll see what Josh Pate audio says before Josh Pate hops on.
Said Ohio State's going to kill him by 100, as we said. Okay. I'm sure.
You keep lying to yourself.
So it'll be a blowout. We don't have a chance, man. No chance.
Can you guess the one win? They're 1-8, traveling two time zones over. What's the one win in the Big Ten?
I should know this.
You do know this. You just not.
I just am not thinking it off the top of my head.
It's not a very memorable game for any reason.
Memorable game in the Big Ten, because I'm thinking USC lost in Michigan, USC lost in Minnesota.
You let me know if you want a hint. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah, give me a hint. Give me a hint. Smoking a cigarette.
Cigarette.
Signetti. Indiana.
UCLA.
Boom!
We did it!
Yes!
Charades.
We would be dominant as a charades
team.
Yeah,
I like how we got to that.
Like, cigarette. Where are we going? Oh, okay. No, I got it.
But 1-8. And so the Big Ten teams, I got a clip from, I'm going to play with James Franklin. It's a little lengthy.
That one also doesn't really count. Can we be honest? Like, UCLA's so bad that I don't even know if that stat should apply. It should be 0-8.
I think it matters.
I think UCLA's so bad. It's just like, you could play them in like Saudi Arabia, and their travel wouldn't affect you.
The point is, Dirt, and before we get to the Franklin, I want to get your thoughts of the travel of this realignment stuff and how it is impacting the sport in general.
This is going to be something I think that is incredibly important to watch the rest of the season. You know, some of these matchups, I'd be curious to look at how many times a team was favored in a certain situation and then lost. Like, that to me would be a more telling stat than just saying teams that are traveling certain distances are losing. Because a lot of these matchups, you have favorites that are winning. Like, Michigan came over to Seattle last weekend. Did they lose because of the travel, or did they lose because Washington is just probably better than them and Michigan can't throw a forward pass?
Oh, see, I think the opposite of that. I think maybe the travel, because Vegas
I'm not saying it has no impact, but I just, like, do they win that game if it's in Ann Arbor? Maybe. Do they win the game if it's in Vegas and you're only going one time?
See, so I think they do win the game if it's in Ann Arbor.
They might, and they might. And Washington's now got to do the return thing. They got to go to Iowa this weekend for a 9 a.m. Pacific kick, so good luck getting your body clock warmed up.
I'd be more curious about what Penn State does at USC and maybe what Minnesota does at UCLA. Like, if UCLA beats Minnesota, Minnesota's better than UCLA.
Yeah, but they're not amazing.
They're not amazing. But if they come out and look lethargic or, you know, just...
But see, I think both those home teams can... I think USC's a trendy little upset pick this
weekend. The spread in both those games is the same, 5 and 5.5.
And UCLA is not very good, but they're not bad defensively, so you could see Minnesota being Minnesota.
Like, I'm not going to act like Minnesota's a world beater.
Yeah,
Minnesota's
not great. We're the best 2-3 team in the country!
I mean, the prime example of this is probably last weekend's USC-Minnesota game. They were nearly a double-digit favorite in that game. Their travel over the last month has been brutal, going on the road to Michigan, back, on the road, back, and so now you go back to Minnesota, they lose the game, they get beat up physically, then you land late. That to me is the prime example of this having an effect. And it's one of those things, like, every time we tweak something in college football, there are unintended consequences. This happened when we added the 4-team playoff. We were all for it. This is great. We got 4 teams now. Woohoo! Away from the BCS. And you look up 3 years later and nobody cared about bowl games anymore. Nobody saw that coming, but that was, guys are opting out. New Year's 6 games, like, not everybody saw it coming. And so that was the unintended consequence. This might end up being like chickens coming home to roost for teams that have to go on the road. I already know. I have no clue what's going to happen in Eugene this weekend. You're going to laugh at me all next week, win or lose. I'm already looking at the Purdue game of like, that's a short week. You just played Ohio State. All of your eggs are in that basket. Purdue sucks. You haven't game planned against them at all because you think you're just going to go in and beat them.
Yeah.
Alabama just beat Georgia and then went on the road and lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So even if they win this weekend, it's like, now you got to travel on Wednesday out to Indiana to go play Purdue on a Friday night on a short week. Like, no, thank you, man.
Well, I would say like, too, I think what you could agree with is so far the schedule makers for Oregon, specifically in the Big Ten. Man, you mentioned Washington, you mentioned USC. They've kind of done you guys some favors to start your season.
Rightfully so.
Before the Ohio State game. Here is James Franklin. They're coming out to LA to play against USC. He's not only having to travel from Penn State to USC, he's having to travel from Penn State to USC.
Your second part of your question is a big part of us leaving on Thursday, is we cannot fly out of state college. So that was a big part of our discussions with the Big Ten when all this thing got started, is not only are we one of the most northeast schools, but based on runway length, size of plane, weight of plane, fuel on plane, we can't get out of here unless we would stop for fuel. So with that, we got to fly out of Harrisburg. So, you know, to me, that's one of the things I think we have to discuss is increasing the size of the runway here and the size of the airport for a lot of reasons, for the university, for the community, for businesses, for the athletic department, and for us now that we've, you know, decided to make this move as a Big Ten. To me, that's something that we need to do for a lot of different reasons. But that's a big part of it is, you know, you're talking about adding another 2 hours to your trip on top of the flight. And I think the flight's already 5.5 hours or whatever it may be. So that's pretty much a full day. So that's one of the big reasons for leaving Thursday. So feel good about our plan. But that's a big reason why, and that's something that I think we're going to need to look at addressing moving forward, because it does change things for us compared to a lot of other teams in our conference that either, you know, even if they are Northeast, they have an international airport and things like that, you know, within a short distance from campus. So we kind of got the double whammy. It's the distance as well as the airport.
So a 2-hour trip to then fly 5.5 hours for Penn State. It's just an example of what this is going to be. Miami, I mean, the same thing last weekend for them against Cal.
Look at Cal's travel this year, all the road trips they made. You know where Cal's playing this week? They're on the road at Pittsburgh.
God.
They've already made road trips to Florida State. They made a road trip to Auburn. I think there was one other one in there, too, if I'm not mistaken. And now they're going on the road to Pitt. Now, one listener
went to Florida State,
One listener is saying the travel across time zone thing, you need to look at individual games. Only one team who was a favorite loss, and that one was close, and that was the USC-Minnesota game.
I think that's where I will differ with you and maybe some out there is, like, I totally get the favorite might just be winning the game. But I think traveling 2 time zones over is massive in college football.
Well, and I will say this. I'm somewhere right now in the middle. Like, I do think some of this is overblown of, like, all these teams are traveling and losing. It's like, well, some of them just suck, and they would lose no matter where you played, if it was at home or on the road. There is some truth to that. Where I will grant your opinion a little leniency is later in the year. This stuff's going to wear on you, man.
It has to.
Like, you got to go longer flights in October, late October, November, late November. Like, when Oregon's got to go to Wisconsin on November 16th. 2 weeks earlier, they go on the road to Michigan. Yeah. So you got to go early to Ann Arbor in early November.
Back home.
I think they have a home game in between, and then they go back to Wisconsin the next week. Like, at some point, that will catch up with you. Now, will it be eliminating of the playoff because you can't beat a team late in the year because of the travel? That we don't know yet, but I do think the truth is somewhere in the middle, that this is going to have a wear and tear effect on teams.
NFL Zigger Zag is next, and we got Heather Dinich at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. I had a buddy text me during that last segment and said maybe these coaches and athletic directors, instead of whining about having extra airport strips being built, should have thought about all that crap before they blew up college football.
That was a big thing in Eugene, I know, that they pushed for years, was having an airport that you could get flights from Dallas and big hubs so they could recruit and families could come in and not have to go through Portland. That was a big thing for them. One listener saying, too, that, you know, pointing to the Oregon-Ohio State game and traveling out there a couple of years ago and winning a 9 a.m. Pacific game.
That was a great win.
It was a great win. I also think there's a big difference between these early season games and mid to late season games. Like, or at that point, Oregon had played only Fresno State at home, and then you go on the
And they weren't in class yet.
They weren't even in class yet.
Games were different at that point. It's not that travel didn't matter.
It's early season. You're all geared up for it.
Right. Body's not as worn down.
Weather's
great. End of October, November, it's your fourth road trip, fifth road trip.
In the last 6 weeks.
You got a midterm coming up next week.
It's that Michigan-Wisconsin area where I'm like, ah, they'll smoke Wisconsin. Well, Michigan, back home, back to Wisconsin. Like, that wears on you, and a lot of these guys are not familiar with that travel.
Yeah.
It's a very different life. We'll see how this goes the rest of the year. We got Dinich at 7, so let's get to NFL Zigger Zag.
Let's do it.
We must start with the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 where they fired Rob Saleh yesterday morning, and reporting had been trickling out all day that Saleh was looking at firing Nate Hackett. Rodgers got wind of it and then convinced Woody Johnson to fire Rob Saleh instead of Hackett. Here's Fireman Ed with McAfee yesterday.
You know, listen, I don't know what's going on with Aaron with Hackett. I know that's his guy, and, you know, I love Aaron. So, whatever, I believe in Aaron Rodgers, that's the bottom line. But, you know, something's going on with him and Hackett, because every play, there's 2 or 3 seconds left in the play. It drives you out of your mind.
Love that we went to Fireman Ed for the reaction.
His thoughts on this. That's a good breakdown.
The guy who abandoned the team like 5 years ago and then jumped back on. He's basically the pseudo-master.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I'm all in on Aaron. Dirt, Zigger Zag, Rodgers got Saleh fired.
Zig, 100% Zig.
You buying the
this
report.
This is the easiest Zig of all time. That guy's a problem. He got Mike McCarthy fired in Green Bay, which I wasn't that against because I think that time had kind of run out, but he definitely ran McCarthy out of town. He butted heads with LaFleur the entire time he was the head coach at Green Bay, and he has been beefing with Robert Saleh for the entire season, since the offseason when he decided to go to Egypt for a week and not attend one of the weeks of training camp. This has been a problem. It's been lingering. We all knew this was going to happen, and he tried to downplay it. He'll try and downplay it again, but we all know the guilty hand here.
We're 5 weeks in. We're going into week 6. Buffalo, Baltimore, Seattle, Atlanta, Houston, Minnesota, Washington, and Kansas City. Those are your divisional leaders. Zigger Zag, at least 6 of the current 8 division leaders will win their division.
Oh, God. Hold on. That's a lot. You're throwing a lot at me right now.
The team's in first place. Okay. 6 of the 8 of them will be in first
place. Let me count. If I'm betting right now, I would take the Bills to win the AFC East. I would take the Ravens to win the NFC North. I would definitely take the Texans to win the AFC South.
Okay.
I would take the Chiefs to win the West.
There's 4.
NFC East could go either way. NFC North could go either way. NFC South could go either way. And I don't think the Seahawks are going to win the NFC. So I would say 5. So I think I'm going to zag on that. Am I zagging on that? I'm going to say 5
win
their division. I could be zigging. I'm saying 5 will win their division.
Okay, you're zagging.
That was a lot. You threw a lot of teams at me there. I had to process information quickly.
Okay. Let's go to Boston, where the Patriots announced that they're going to start Drake May. The report was May couldn't start against Cincinnati. Our offensive line isn't very good. We can't throw him out at against Cincinnati.
Now it's hard.
This team blows.
Cincinnati's defense, by the way, blows.
Yeah.
But let's start him against Houston and D'Amico Ryans. Let's go to 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, for their reactions.
Colossal mistake. Can't emphasize this enough. It was my initial reaction as soon as I heard it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. They're rushing it. There's no way. No way it could have been the plan. And Mayo was saying emphatically, Brissett's my starter. We're going to keep it that way. You know, there was some speculation in some reports that May is still far away, not even getting that much closer. They're 1-4, and now he's playing with a team coming in that is a Super Bowl potential candidate. It's colossally stupid. They're panicking.
You want a hot take?
What do you got
before I zigzag with you? I think they love that this team blows and makes bad, questionable decisions. I think as radio hosts, they'd prefer this over winning Super Bowls every year. I know that sounds crazy. I've listened to enough Boston media to know that they like being miserable.
They love rolling around in their own poop, man. They love being negative.
My gambling co-host Lucy Burge lives in Boston, diehard Patriot fan. I said, man, this is interesting. She goes, I honestly think they're doing it to cover up the Jabril Peppers story because that is weird and ugly.
That is a bad one.
Zig or zag. This is a colossal mistake starting Drake May at this point.
I zag on that, man. I zag. You know how I feel. Look, against this opponent, I guess we could debate that. Is that the team you want him to face
in
the Texans?
That's part of it.
But it's there's a lot of good pass rushers in the NFL, man. And everybody wants to say, let's coddle the kid and let's wait. We got to get our offensive line in order. Breaking news, man. Your offensive line, you suck. Your team sucks. Your offensive line's going to suck next year. Your offense is going to suck next year. The Patriots suck. Everything about you is going to suck for 3 years. And you just hope that this kid can survive and ride out the wave and be okay in a couple of seasons. Mm. Odds tell you it's probably not the case, but you might as well figure out what you have now because nothing's going to change for them going into next offseason. So, yeah, start the guy. I don't want to watch Jacoby Brissett play football anymore.
The top five MVP odds are as follows, from 1 to 5. So this is number 1 to number 5, according to the sports books. Okay? The MVP leader in Vegas... Patrick Mahomes with 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Lamar Jackson, number 2. Josh Allen, number 3. Yeah. CJ Stroud, number 4. And rookie Jaden Daniels, number 5. Zig or zag, the winner of the NFL MVP will be a player currently in this group. Lamar won it last year, by the way.
He did, and they have a weird bugaboo about not wanting to do the back-to-back thing.
Narratives and, media
it's
voting.
Like LeBron MVP thing in the NBA.
Mahomes is having maybe his worst year of his career.
I mean, that's ridiculously... I mean, I get it, because I think you're projecting out of what he could still do
and
the numbers and where they could go. And
he's
Patrick Mahomes. That's why he's top that list. I will zig on that. It usually goes to a quarterback. I know we've had our randoms with running backs over the years. The Jaden Daniels ticket is not a bad idea. The way that he's playing, what are the odds on that is what I would ask.
Like 11-1?
I might lay a couple of bucks on that. I mean, history tells you at some point he's going to hit a wall and they'll have a couple of clunkers and that would be totally normal and nobody's going to panic and you shouldn't panic. But this is usually a quarterback award. And right now, if I had to bank on it, yeah, I would zig on one of those guys winning it.
All right, there we go. NFL Zig or Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. Loaded second hour of the show. Josh Pate at 7:40. But we start the second hour with our good friend Heather Dinich of ESPN. Talking some college football with Heather Dinich. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.